This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer podcast. I am VLord GTZ, and with me I have my usual co-hosts, Marion and Sakaki.
What's crack-a-lickin' blue chocolate?
He stole all my thunder. All I can say is hi.
I only have this energy because you got me pizza today, so it's all good.
Yeah, I'm so happy that I got you in on time.
Yeah, when in doubt, send Marion pizza.
Please, send me all the pizza.
We're going to dox Marion just so you can send him pizza.
Don't.
I'm not actually, no. No, that'd be God. Bad.
No. One beer.
But we'll have a GoFundMe to give Marion a lifetime supply of pizza. We'll make it happen.
Bro, Demon Slayer pizza party, let's do this.
Yes.
Like, we have a lot to celebrate, because, I mean, we're doing this podcast, and now Demon Slayer's taking over to Japan, so they can afford to send us a pizza or two.
If anything, the staff are having pizza parties now.
Yeah, I mean, we single-handedly made Demon Slayer blow up. You can thank us.
Right? You can thank me personally at Microwavy, the E before the V. You can search Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba, and that will be the first tweet from talking about it from the week that it fucking premiered in English. You're welcome.
The Demon Slayer shadow editor.
God.
John, where are you? If you're listening, we believe in you. We want you on.
Yes, John, you're a fucking Chad. I love that you also translate all the Sunday manga like Komi and Fly Me to the Moon.
John Wary, if you ever listen to this, hit us up. We would love to talk to you.
Yes.
But anyways, today our episode is a little bit different, actually. We're not talking about a chapter of Demon Slayer or volume or anything manga-specific content-wise of Demon Slayer. We're going to be talking about just all the big news stories that happened throughout December for Demon Slayer, because it was kind of a big month for it for a variety of reasons, whether it was hitting some major milestones to just getting a lot of buzz. So I thought it would be kind of worthwhile to talk about and maybe make this into a regular segment for the podcast, kind of maybe every month talking about just what's up in the world of Demon Slayer, so we aren't just talking about the content itself in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think that's pretty productive in terms of just, like, even though the manga's over, its impact is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think at this point, too, most of the relevant Demon Slayer stuff is kind of various news-related content. Because, yeah, we might not be getting another season of Demon Slayer for a while, or another movie, which we might get into later here as well. But I think to keep the discussion of Demon Slayer going, this is kind of a nice direction to take the podcast in. And honestly, like, if you guys have any feedback about this episode or anything we're doing, send it our way. We'd love any criticisms or just kind of suggestions so that we can improve the podcast for you listeners out there.
Yeah, any constructive feedback is welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're only here because you guys listen this up.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, I am very taken aback by how many people have been listening to the podcast as of late. Our follower count on Twitter continues to rise. We're almost at 4,000, which blows me away. I don't know how we got this far. It's kind of scary. But I'm happy people like the podcast, and we like doing it.
True.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a highlight just of podcasting. We're on a couple things together, but I'm just glad that I'm able to hang out with my friends like this, and people are enjoying what we're putting out there. I mean, I was just told by family the other day they're listening to this, so, which is just scary and embarrassing. But like, yeah, I mean, I got family members listening.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like, I know I think all three of us might have had instances where people we didn't know necessarily were listening to the podcast actually are regular listeners or occasional listeners, which is kind of scary, but also cool at the same time. So thank you for all the folks out there who take time out of their day to listen to our ramblings about Demon Slayer.
All right. So V-Lord, what's on an agenda tonight?
Okay, yeah. We're going to start off here with the new volumes that came out in December for Demon Slayer. First off, from the English side at Viz Media, we have Demon Slayer Volume 19, which came out on December 1st. So if you are collecting the Demon Slayer volumes like yours truly, that was something you definitely should have picked up. Volume 19 covers chapters 161 to 169 of the manga. So I believe that is a little bit into... Actually, I'm not sure what fight that would be. That would probably be the canal fight with Goma.
Yeah, that's what it starts off. Oh,
that was lit.
Yeah.
That's what it starts off with, and it ends with...
I think it ends with Kokushibo.
Yeah, Kokushibo. Yep.
So yeah, that is a doozy of a volume then. Yeah, so definitely pick that up. I really like picking up the Demon Slayer volumes. Like, obviously you can read it all in the vault, but it's kind of nice having a concrete collection of Demon Slayer. Plus, it's not that long of a series either. It's only 23 volumes. And speaking of the 23rd volume, it came out on December 4th in Japan. So if you want to collect that as well, because for one thing, that cover is really beautiful. It has Tanjiro and Nezuko kind of before everything went down. And it looks really pretty. So yeah, you should really pick it up. And also that came out on that day as well is the Kimetsu no Yaiba Gaiden volume, which is all the kind of side stories done by Ryuji Hirano, specifically the Rengoku and the Giyu side stories, as well as the gag series they did, Kimetsu no Aima.
Oh, that's the one that, I think the Kimetsu no Aima were the like one page comics that came out like after every anime episode.
Yup, yeah, those ones. They were published on Jump Plus, as well as I think the Demon Slayer Twitter, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I read a few of them. They were really kind of cute and fluffy, nice little reads. I think we'll definitely cover that on the podcast too at some point.
Yeah, the designs are very like cute, chibi, that like the kind that you can see definitely on merch.
Yeah, it's definitely weird to look out now because if you're familiar with Hirano's kind of usual artwork, it's a bit of a departure from that. For reference for listeners who maybe aren't super familiar with his work, he did the short-lived manga Bose Beats in Shonen Jump, and he currently does Fate Type Redline for Type Moon. So yeah, he has a pretty good art style that is more attributed to action series than a gag series, but he can definitely draw a gag manga, that's for sure.
I will have to check that out. I've actually not read that. I mean, I have the final volume digitally in Japanese.
Nice.
And yeah, it's the great send off, as well as having a lot of pages, which are out there. People probably already know that. But yes, the final chapter was more fleshed out. I mean, it's nothing huge that changes the course of the manga as we know it, but it just kind of fills in some blanks. And it's just overall really nice. And there's a little bit more of allusions to how the story of Tanjiro and Tanjiro and the Demon Slayers, how that was passed down. So that was really nice too. Whereas in the Jump volume, the Jump chapter in the magazine was more, I mean, it felt very, I mean, it was good enough, but I just like having all of these little details in there. So definitely whenever that volume, if you want to pick up the Japanese version and it, if you're just interested in seeing how the story is filled out and of course having more notes from Gotoge Sensei, and otherwise you can, the release, the English release is getting pretty close. I mean, always wait for that too. Yeah. But definitely you should pick up the volume itself, because I know the vault is pretty much just the weekly chapters and you won't get some of the extras, and 23 is filled with them, so you will want to get that.
Yeah, that's some of my favorite stuff. If you're listening and you somehow haven't read the manga before, but you've seen the anime, a lot of the Taisho secrets or whatever from the anime, they come directly from the volumes.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, so if you're really into extras, the volumes are the best way to go to pick up Demon Slayer and read it. But speaking of the final volume too, to celebrate its release in Japan, multiple Japanese newspapers actually did like full-page advertisements like that featured Demon Slayer characters on them. So Daryl Harding from Crunchyroll actually did a little article on this, and you can see on it that there's a bunch of different images from newspapers, and it's all like different characters, like Gyome, Kanao, Giyu, Tanjiro, Nezuko, all having a happy faces or kind of their usual iconic faces. And they look really nice, for one thing. I wish I could collect these. But apparently, they sold out extremely quickly. Like, Daza mentions in this article that he himself tried to pick one up, and it was already sold out. So, not much luck, probably. And I'm assuming a lot of these might get lost in a dumpster at some point, which is unfortunate.
God. I'm looking at the picture now, and I love the expressions. A lot of these are from panels. Something about, like, just everyone smiling, and then Inosuke's mask.
Yeah, it's like, so you have a few people smiling, then you have, like, Genya who's frowning. Gyome kind of has a more neutral face, and then I guess Mitsuri also. I don't know, Mitsuri is smiling too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giyu is just like, who is this?
Giyu is just like, are you approaching me?
Are you approaching
me? Giyu looks like, yeah, somebody took that picture of him like, hey, Giyu, what? Click!
God.
That's the impression I get from his. Yeah, I'm looking at them now, and yeah, these look awesome.
Reminds me of the scene from Evangelion of everyone saying congratulations.
Oh my god, it does remind me of that. Oh no. Yeah, that's a nice little thing to do to celebrate Demon Slayer, especially with how big of a phenomenon it's become. And speaking of that, the yearly Oricon sales came out for 2020, and guess what was at the top of the top-selling manga list?
One Piece?
The king.
Nah,
psych, One Piece is third place.
Yeah, One Piece is old news. It's in the dumpster. Only 7.7 million copies? That's pathetic. That's chump change. Our king, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba. It got 82.3 million copies, outselling Kingdom, which got 8.2 million copies by like 10 times.
By 10 times. Yeah. Oh my god.
And for historical reference, the highest I think One Piece has ever gotten is, I think, during the Marineford arc, which was like something like 35 million copies a year. That's over double.
Yeah, this is unprecedented.
Yeah, so this is a huge deal. It really kind of just emphasizes how big of a series Demon Slayer really is.
We're probably never going to see something like this in our lifetime again, but I'd say that, but nobody probably expected Demon Slayer to do this either. This is just insane. I'm actually looking at the numbers now. It's like there's Demon Slayer and then there's everything else, which is like miles away. Like, God.
Even on the individual volumes, the top like 22 slots are all Demon Slayer.
They're all the 22 volumes of Demon Slayer.
Yeah, so Demon Slayer did really well. And also, even outside of manga, the Demon Slayer Flower of Happiness novel sold like 923,000 copies alone.
Good. Light novel supremacy. Let's go.
Yeah. Viz, license it. Please. I want to read it.
I know you're listening, Viz. I read your novels.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think both of us have read the Jump novels that have come out. Sakaki might be the lone one out on here.
It's okay. It's well,
I promise.
Okay. I can sell Sakaki on it.
I mean, I would definitely read the Demon Slayer them out.
Not even. I'm gonna sell you on the freaking Bleach novel.
Oh no!
Oh my God!
You're gonna be like, okay. Bleach sucks, but also Narita hard carried so bad, like yeah. It's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, going back to Demon Slayer though, this is a big deal for Demon Slayer. It's a huge milestone, unprecedented, something we'll probably never see again. And
it's almost like people had nothing to do during COVID but read manga.
Yeah, you think so. But the fact that this isn't the only big news coming out from this year for Demon Slayer is also a testament to, again, it's a phenomenon. And we'll be going into that right now, too, as we move over to the Juggernaut movie, Demon Slayer Mugen Train. So to start off, there is a new trailer that came out on December 20th that is a bit more spoilery for the movie. And this primarily features the fight between Rengoku and Akaza. And we'd seen bits of this footage before. But this kind of just like shows off a little bit more of it. And it's kind of just like another way to promote the movie, especially with the 4DX screenings having started recently as of like December 26th.
But V-Lord, is this a spoiler when everybody in Japan's already saw this movie?
I mean, it really isn't at this point. It's more a spoiler for everyone outside Japan who hasn't seen it.
Okay, there you go. There you go. That's better. Because, I mean, at this point, we can legitimately... I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say most of Japan has seen this movie. So it's not even a spoiler anymore.
I think it's hard to say because also on Twitter, everyone... The second that the movie was announced... People would just pull screen caps of Rengoku and on the train and be like, oh no, he doesn't know.
Or, get him off the train, guys. Get him off the train.
Those were special times. Those were wonderful times.
And everyone else is just like, why should the man be afraid of the train? What's going to happen?
All it takes, I just remember it was just one tweet where it's just him on a train and the whole internet was freaking out.
I'm in danger.
No, there was no caption or anything. It's just Rengoku on the train. And the comments section was
everyone
just
going crazy.
So that's it. But yeah, it's amazing to like, I've been trying to avoid watching this trailer. I knew of it. And I mean, I've read the manga. So clearly, I know what's going to happen. But I want to be surprised by the spectacle of the animation. Because, as we've heard from several sources, the movie is not just Demon Slayer as the manga itself, which is already really good. It's also UFO Table. And they definitely pulled their weight. So,
yeah,
I want to be just surprised by it.
Yeah, I'm not like that. I'm on the flip right now.
Yeah, but it's definitely a waiting game because we probably aren't getting that movie anytime soon. And the U.S. isn't the only country facing that right now because even places like China that were supposed to get it very soon aren't anymore. Because in China, as of a recent news piece, they decided to delay Demon Slayer Mugen Train because of the recent controversy with the Monster Hunter live action film.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that.
Yeah.
I heard
of that. For those who don't know, the Monster Hunter film had some insensitive content towards Asian people, and that yeah, obviously did not gel well with the Chinese audience.
That's crazy. The fact that it's also co-produced by a Chinese company, Tencent, like, how did that happen? How did that go through?
I mean, to be fair, that entire movie is a complete mess, so...
Oh, no.
It's like, who thinks, when they think Monster Hunter, who thinks military versus, like, weird dragon lizards? That's not Monster Hunter.
I think they wanted to make it, like, Fast and Furious.
Yeah, which is like, that's oh not God. Monster Hunter at all.
But God. But it sells.
Yeah, that's... I went from not wanting to see this to wanting to see it just from Marion saying Fast and Furious.
Yeah, essentially, due to the film being pulled, regulators have decided that the openings for most kind of upcoming foreign films will be kind of pushed back a little bit, which is delaying Demon Slayer Mugen Train, essentially.
Oh, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, another interesting to note, this was mentioned by the article that Daryl Harding wrote for it. For reference, like, most of these pieces that we're referencing are from Crunchyroll News, and the vast majority of them are written by Daryl Harding, a.k.a. Daza. So, go give Daza a follow on Twitter, because, like, he's amazing, and he does a ton of awesome reporting and stuff like this.
And we got to talk to him once.
Yeah, we got to talk to him about the Demon Slayer Mugen Train movie, because he lives in Japan.
That episode was awesome.
Yeah, and it's one of our most popular episodes right now. So thank you again for coming on, Daza. And if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it, because it's really good.
Yes.
But anyways, what he mentioned in here was that Hollywood Reporter actually noted that the Japanese Blu-ray and DVD for Mugen Train was coming out in late January, which at this point I think is probably just a complete misreport on Hollywood Reporter's part. Because, like, we're in January to date this podcast right now, and it definitely seems like it's not coming out.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I mean, it's going to run its course with theaters, and the way it's doing, they have no incentive to release that thing anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so. For one thing, like, I've never heard of a movie getting its Blu-ray release while it's still in theaters.
Yeah, plus, like we said, the 4DX showings have just started, too. So, like, they aren't going to release a Blu-ray of that while the 4DX is still going.
No. Yeah, that's just counterproductive.
Yeah.
No.
Also, God, I really want to watch this movie in 4DX now. That'd be so cool.
I'm gonna go watch it in 4DX with Beeler. Because Beeler clearly knows what he's talking about when it comes to movies.
I mean, so I the only movie I've seen in 4DX before, or I guess in recent memory, is the Detective Conan Zero the Enforcer at Anime Expo. And
was that worth it?
It was worth it for that movie. It actually made that movie better. Imagine with an actual action film how it would be. Like, with Demon Slayer, I'd assume 4DX would be insane.
You know what? I believe it. Because Ufotable is all about, like, effects and shit. And then, like, integrating the special effects with, like, the animation. So, like, this was probably going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I was talking about it before we started Mike, and watching Demon Slayer on Blu-ray versus streaming, that's already a world. So I can only imagine what a 4DX showing would look like compared to just watching it in a regular theater.
Yeah, I mean, you get really immersed with all the seat shaking and, like, the high-quality sound visuals. It would be probably the most immersive way to see Rengoku die.
Imagine that he's headed in real time along with Tanjiro.
Oh God!
The blood will spill on your face just like Tanjiro.
Make sure you're not eating, kids.
Oh my God!
They'll have like a little warning. Put your food away. It's about to get a little messy in the theater.
Every time Tanjiro has to kill himself to get out of the dream world, blood will splatter on you.
I was thinking of, like, a little spray of air on your neck or something.
Yeah, it could be that, too. That would probably be actually what it is.
God.
Oh, man.
Okay, so we totally need to go see this movie together, and when it comes out here, to hope that COVID's no longer a thing, so we can just go see it together.
Yeah, get Paul from TF to sponsor our tickets.
At this point, yeah, shit.
Oh, my God.
It's not going to happen.
That's definitely not happening.
No.
But to celebrate people going and seeing Mugen Train, theatergoers are getting a special little booklet, which is also kind of an incentive for more people to go see the movie. And essentially, like, the visual of the book is kind of just like Rengoku and Akaza fighting each other. It's a visual we've seen plenty of times before, but this booklet will have a talk between Natsuki Hanai, Akari Kito, Hiro Shimono, Yoshitsugu Matsuoka, Daisuke Hirakawa, essentially kind of all the main cast members of Demon Slayer.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and that also includes a discussion between Satoshi Hino and Akira Ishida, the voices of Rengoku and Akaza. And it's their discussion specifically is on the fight between their characters, which is kind of really cool.
God, that's so cool. I freaking love, like, I love everyone in the cast because, you know, like, Demon Slayer is just so fucking studded with, like, the all-star cast. And, like, I keep forgetting that Ishida is Akaza. And it's just like, damn, he's one of my favorite actors of all time. And, like, hearing him and Hino, who's also, like, really, really good as an actor, like, man, I kind of want this. I'm about to go to Yahoo Auctions.
Yeah, I'm sure someone's selling it out there.
I knew about, like, the Ishida and Hino, of course, but I just found out, I'm just reading about Daisuke Hirakawa, and now just thinking back to Kakyoin. That's all I can think of. That's all I can think of now.
Apt casting, because Enmu would be the demon who would go red, 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 red.
Oh, no.
But the thing that's the worst thing, and I hate it, is the fact that I look at this poster of Rengoku and Akaza, and all I can see is Kamui and Katsura fighting. Because Gintama is ruined. Ever.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So, like,
yeah, I really want this booklet as well, so time to jump on eBay and hunt one down.
I mean, if you get me a copy, I'll transfer.
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
I mean, I'm sure somebody
do it, and then we post it on the. No, we don't. We can't do that.
I'm sure with the multitude of Demon Slayer fans out there, somebody else has got this book and is working on it as we speak.
We've been ignoring one of the big elephants in the room, though, because we've been mentioning Demon Slayer is, of course, doing very well, especially Mugen Train, and something really big happened with Demon Slayer Mugen Train. Because, yeah, it's been
getting... The inevitable happened.
Yeah, it's been getting a lot of attendees, a lot of ticket sales. And on December 27th, it became the highest grossing film in Japan at ¥32,478,895,850, which is equivalently around, say, $313.5 million. And that places it well above the former number one, Spirited Away.
Disney is shaking.
You mean Ghibli is shaking?
Well, also Disney, because they had Frozen, and that was like number two.
Oh, yeah, true. But Frozen, that's old news. That's the number three. That's the garbage now.
Rengoku melted it. Yeah, it's over. Spring came.
I can't believe Rengoku just decapitated Haku.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh.
But in terms of, like, worldwide sales, Demon Slayer Mugen Train is still behind Tenet at the time of this recording. And Tenet is the fifth highest grossing film of 2020. So it's still only, like, number six worldwide, but that's still, like, really good for, like, worldwide yearly sales. But, like, to reach number one in Japan, like, that's huge. Like, yeah, Your Name did it a long time back at this point, but for another film so soon after that to do it is kind of insane, especially something like Demon Slayer, where like, yeah, Demon Slayer is big, but it really kind of emphasizes again that Demon Slayer has become like a phenomenon.
Demon Slayer is now normie core.
Is now normie core?
Normie core. You heard me.
In 4DK.
Yeah, it's up there now. Like, it's like, it's literally, it did what JoJo could not. Even though JoJo is like pretty normie now.
I guess.
God, yes.
You know I'm not wrong. You know I'm not wrong.
You are.
You're never wrong.
Marion's never wrong.
Thank you. Everyone else needs to.
But yeah, it took down Spirited Away. That's a lifetime of just that movie being there, and then Demon Slayer just comes and slays it.
Yeah, literally everyone knows what Spirited Away is. Even if you haven't watched it, you just know the name. Now yeah. Demon Slayer is like in those ranks. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, it's not stopping. It's going to create a rank of its own soon.
Yeah.
So, I have a friend actually who works in Japan. I don't think he's Jet, but he works at like a school. And he teaches like third and fourth graders. And he was telling me that for Halloween, literally everyone was Tanjiro and Nezuko.
Oh my god, that's adorable.
It is.
So, like, that's just like how huge the impact is. Like, all these kids, like, some kids were like, they had to do like a survey, like, oh, who's your hero or whatever.
Yeah, I was about to just bring that up.
Yeah, like for men, most people said Tanjiro, and then for like women, most people said like, "Oh, my mom." So Tanjiro is as good as your mom.
Oh my!
As popular. No.
That's not popular.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that report too. Like everybody, there's an overwhelming percentage of Japanese people who know who Tanjiro is. So
yeah, which is absurd. And I guess that kind of makes sense. Like considering how many people ended up seeing this film, it's like. Yeah, Tanjiro is a household name now.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, and considering in this year where everybody needed this movie, really.
True.
So.
Everyone needed the deep feels.
Yeah, apparently. And it seems like the movie itself is not the only thing that's doing extremely well. Because Lisa's theme song for the movie, Homura, has become the number one longest single on the Oricon digital singles charts.
Damn.
Yeah, with a record 11 weeks as of December 28th. So that's kind of a big deal. And if you guys haven't listened to Homura yet, that song frickin' hits the feels hard. Like, it's so good.
I actually
good.
Haven't listened to it.
You haven't listened to it?
I haven't either, actually.
You guys need to listen to it. It's so good.
No.
I think I will, but also I was actually in that Sakaki camp of like, maybe it'll hit me harder if I just listen to it. Like,
yeah, see, that's just... Yeah, exactly. I could listen to it on its own, but it's just like...
From my perspective on it, it's going to hit hard either way. Like, when I'm watching the movie finally, it'll probably still hit up the feels.
True.
Yeah, no,
I'm not gonna ball anyway, because I'm just that kind of person. Like, I'm very emotional or whatever, but like, yeah, you know what? I'll listen to it. Screw it.
No, I'll be the last bastion. I'm not. Wait. I'm not gonna. I want to go into this thing. If I can't be, I'm already spoiled on the story, so whatever. But I want to be spoiled.
You can't call
I don't
it spoiled
want to be spoiled
if you
experience.
Read the manga like ahead of time. You read it before you watched it. Come on, Sakaki.
I'm going to call it spoiled, all
oh
right?
Oh, my God.
That's so silly.
I'm going to do what I want, man. But no. Silly. I mean, you're right. You're right.
The concept.
You're right. I already know. I already woke. Know. Yeah.
You're literally woke.
Woke cocky. The new evolution of Sakaki.
But no. Like, yeah. I mean, I want to go in as a new experience when I do finally see the movie, and I definitely intend to once they announce it. I'm down. Like,
true.
That yeah. day.
That makes sense.
You know, now that I'm looking at the cover, dude, Lisa, her outfit looks like a Gintama Shinsengumi costume.
It does. It really does. Like,
I was thinking that myself. I'm like, no, nobody else sees that. It's just me because of my Gintama-addled brain. Okay, good. You all just you all just really complete me right now.
It's okay. I also have Gintama brain rot.
I think I'm the only one here that doesn't.
Good. Don't. don't.
I'll keep watching it one day. I'm like forever just stalled. Stay with... I'm forever stalled on the start of the Yoshiwara and Flames arc.
I stopped at like episode like 25, I think.
Wow. That's pretty early.
Yeah.
It's not that I even hated it or anything. I like Gintama. I just like suck at watching long shows, which is very hypocritical given I am caught up with Conan, but that is a very different case.
That's actually hilarious.
Case closed, man. But yeah, I feel like everybody's got that one long show that they just kind of like, yeah, I know I could watch this other long show, but I like this long show. I'm going to stay caught up with that one. So, I mean, yours is Conan. Everybody here's got one.
Yeah. So, but going back to Homura, another big accomplishment that Homura got was that it won Japan's top music honor, which is the Grand Prix of the 62nd Japan Record Award.
I have never heard of that in my life.
I hadn't either before this, but looking into it, it apparently is like a very big deal. It's like, yeah, like the one of the highest honors that like the Japan Composers Association gives out. So that's kind of a huge achievement for Lisa, for one thing. But it's also kind of crazy that, yeah, she got it for the theme song for Demon Slayer Mugen Train.
That's crazy.
Which, I mean, yeah, to be fair, that like I said, that song is extremely emotional. So I feel like even if you hadn't watched the movie, it would definitely kind of evoke feelings into people. So it's well deserved.
Man, that's awesome. You guys are winning me over a little bit.
Okay, Sakaki, right after this call, we're going to listen to the song. We're going to make you listen to the song, Sakaki.
That's so funny. No. That's not even my intention.
Like, no, just it's not necessarily your intention, but just reading how big it is and how Vlore keeps saying it's a really an emotional song. So, like, now I'm kind of like, maybe I'll go ahead and just let myself go and re-listen to it.
Yeah, another thing to note, too, is that the music video for Homura has been watched over 100 million times on YouTube.
Damn.
So, good. Yeah, people really like this song.
At this rate, it'll... No, I'm not going to say it.
Say it, Marion. Worst case scenario, I cut it out.
Okay. at this rate, it's going to be as viral as Gangnam Style.
I guess? That's not even like... I thought it was going to be something like possibly offensive. That's just like outdated.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Vlore. You just went for the jugular there.
Okay, I was in high school when Gangnam Style was a thing. That's okay, how old it is.
I'm nostalgic for 2012. Excuse me.
Yeah, I was like 14.
Okay, now I'm offended at how young you are.
You already knew this. This was the contract you made when you became friends Vlore with me.
Vlore is really a zoomer.
I'm not a zoomer. I'm close to a zoomer. I'm still technically a millennial.
I like how you got offended by that. I am not a zoomer.
No, I don't get offended by it, but like...
No, I'm joking. I'm joking. It's just your reaction was just that.
Yeah,
but
no.
Yeah, like, yeah. Okay, but what do we got next? We got the Google Trends, right?
Yeah, the Demon Slayer buzz never ends because even Google has been infected by the Mugen Train. Because Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba was number 4 on the top Google Trends of 2020 in Japan. So yeah, the demons are coming. And it's the top pop culture related thing too. Because to talk about the top 3, number 1 was the new coronavirus infection, number 2 was the US presidential election, and number 3 was emergency declaration. So yeah.
So basically, it's been an eventful year, and Demon Slayer still managed to be one of the most talked about things in it.
Yeah, like it was Demon Slayer and Animal Crossing.
Yeah, Demon Slayer is right above Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Not even Tom Nook could stop Demon Slayer.
Oh my god. And that just reminds me when my first time going to Marion's Island, it was like he was dressed as Tanjiro. So once again,
true,
Marion's never wrong. I mean,
I am never wrong.
Yeah, in terms of other things Demon Slayer beat out in the top 10, Zoom, like the application, Uniqlo Mask, Go To, Typhoon Number 10, and Sharp Mask.
Okay, what's Go To?
So Go To is the Japan travel campaign that's going on in Japan.
Oh.
So like right now, I know this because I've been listening to like a few podcasts, specifically like the Abroad in Japan podcast and a few others. And so Go To is essentially to kind of instigate and kind of convince people to travel around Japan because tourism's down, because obviously people can't get into the country.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's like, I guess, like the replacement for Cool Japan, or maybe an initiative, but I don't know.
Yeah, so I think like with Go To, like there's like discounts for going to certain places, and like hotels are cheaper and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just kind of like convincing people like, hey, if you have time off from work or something, go travel somewhere.
Have you heard of the Saka Prefecture? Well, if you haven't, here's this cool anime called Zombieland Saga.
Oh my god.
Anime pilgrimages are a thing.
But yeah, the fact that Demon Slayer has beaten out all these kind of like hot topics is kind of a big deal. So yeah, Demon Slayer is continuing to be huge. And that's not only concerning just the franchise, but also the Japanese economy, because the Demon Slayer franchise is estimated to bring in 270 billion yen to the Japanese economy in 2020.
I can't believe Gotouge single-handedly saved the economy.
Oh,
we need Gotouge in the United States.
Go To.
So this was initially reported by the Japan Times with the estimates made by Daiichi Life Research Institute. And breaking this down, roughly 85 billion yen of it was from book sales. 50 billion was from sales directly attributed to Mugen Train, and more than 130 billion of the yen was attributed from sales of other merchandise and related media.
Jesus Christ. The Japan Times says that this estimate is more than double the economic impact that Kumamoto's famous mascot Kumamon has brought to Japan every year.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. And for those who don't know, Kumamon is adorable. So if Demon Slayer is beating out Kumamon, you know something is going.
Oda, Kumamon. Yes, that one is literally quaking.
Kumamon was always a demon. I had my suspicions, but now
Tanjiro's gonna slay Kumamon. I mean, Kumamon kind of has a weird, like, death stare of sorts, so maybe Kumamon deserved it?
You know, I'm just thinking of Tanjiro, like, cutting Kumamon's, like, face off for, like, a mask.
Oh, God. Imagine if, like, Urokodaki had a Kumamon mask.
Yeah.
Okay, Gotouge, draw it. I need it.
Oh. But, yeah, that's kind of really big, the fact that, yeah, Demon Slayer is essentially helping the Japanese economy.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no word for it. Like, this is no longer just a manga, it's a movement now. It's well past just being another anime series. This is going to be remembered for a long time, because people who are, the economy, people who are probably not even interested in Demon Slayer now know of it, and what it's done for the economy and everything, so yeah. It's past just, oh, well, yeah, it was a fun manga, but it's now a movement. It is now Japan. Demon Slayer is Japan now.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny because, like, this is just going to mean that even more people are just going to, like, talk about it in passing as, like, oh, yeah, I don't watch, you know, normie anime or, like, stuff that, like, literally, like, everyone else has watched or whatever. You're going to get that many more contrarians who are just like, nah, it's popular, so it must be bad or some shit. Like,
which is so funny in Demon Slayer's case, because we all know Demon Slayer wasn't hit off the bat. It struggled at the beginning, so it's kind of like the ultimate underdog story. You went from the dumps to the ultimate peak of Chaddom.
Well, I mean, I would take contrarians over power level people. So
I would take neither.
Just saying.
We can just get rid of both of them. We don't want that toxic crap in our lives.
I mean, fair. It's also fair.
But with all this success, you gotta wonder, how much is Gotouke really getting out of it? Are they gonna be rolling in billions of dollars? And the reality of it is, unfortunately, not. Now, this is not new news for people that are kind of super familiar with the ongoings of the industry, but Daryl Harding, once again, wrote a great article kind of going in-depth on what Gotouke would actually get financially out of the Mugen Train. And he cites here a kind of an estimate made by Japanese insider Hotaka Sugimoto, who has been studying the box office revenue for Demon Slayer. And Sugimoto had mentioned that the estimated fee for what Shueisha would have given for the rights to Mugen Train would have likely been around 4 million yen, with roughly only 2 million of that yen going to Gotouke directly for the theatrical release, which in US dollars is only around $19,200. So that's not a lot, unfortunately.
Damn.
And it's noted that the cut gets that small because included with that is other people on the production committee, especially Aniplex and Ufa Table, who would get half the amount also of the box office profits and other stuff regarding that. And even to go and bring up Sakaki's hated enemy, Sorachi.
Arch enemy! you could say it. He's my arch enemy. Yeah, Sorachi did mention at one point it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but now we can see it's actually a bit true. Sorachi said, yeah, you all can keep going seeing this movie. You can pay for a bunch of merch. I don't see any of that shit. I see a licensing fee. That's it. And that is the truth. Sorachi was telling us the truth.
Yeah, and it's especially tricky in a case like Gotouke's where, they would likely not have a royalty payment built in for, a theatrical release since they are a new writer to Jump. This is their first series.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. And then, going forward, I have to wonder how that's going to affect, the planning for the continuation of the anime. Like, if they make more movies specifically, now that it's as big, now that Demon Slayer is as a phenomenon as it is now, does that mean the same? Now that her or their work is this huge thing all over the country, are they still going to get that kind of a cut for the upfront licensing fee?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would imagine they could definitely lobby for some change, especially if talks to the
especially
Shueisha
is also one of three companies on the production committee. Instead of like for bigger stuff, you would see more companies in that committee position, sponsoring the film. But Shueisha is getting a lot of that money, from ticket sales and stuff. So I wonder how they're gonna use it, or if anything they'll build a better relationship with their writer.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, I think after all the success, Gotouke is going to have a lot more leverage with future deals, including Demon Slayer.
Because
One other thing Sugimoto had mentioned when detailing all this out is the idea of secondary usage fees, which would be for stuff like kind of home video rights and other things that would involve additional kind of releases of the film. So the way we think about it is, like, this initial fee is the original usage fee for the theatrical release. Anything after that would have to be a secondary usage fee. And with that, GoToGate could maybe get more money out of it, which I hope they do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm reading, like, a later part of this article, and yeah, we've all known this, that Shonen Jump is a pretty big deal. I mean, Demon Slayer aside. And we're seeing another creator, Mari Yamazaki. Thermae Romae, which ran in Comic Beam. And I mean, she only got about 9,630 original usage fee for the adaption of her manga series. So it was the second highest grossing Japanese that year.
Yeah, it's sadly not surprising. Like, I even remember, like, the creator of Psyche, Shuichi Aso. I think at one point they forgot to pay him for his, like, TV anime of Psyche.
Jesus.
So, like, stuff like this happens.
But how do you... Okay.
Luckily after that, they did pay him.
That sounds like another story he could weaponize for his manga.
Right?
Clearly, Aso has come back with the story just revolving around that. Not getting paid for jobs.
I just sitting at home watching your anime, like, boy, can't wait till I see the money roll in for this. they forgot.
But yeah, so I highly recommend listeners reading this full piece, because there's a lot of details here that we could probably spend, like, over an hour on alone. So yeah, go read it. And yeah, hopefully GoToGate kind of gets a better deal moving forward. I mean, from my perspective, like, either GoToGate will get more leverage with Shueisha, or she'll go to another publisher that will give her that leverage. So, yeah.
Yeah. If anything, like, we do know, like, in the end, it's a good thing, because the reason the manga blew up was because the movie was huge, and, like the anime in general was, like, so big or whatever, and that, like, at the very end of the article does say that, like, it's a win-win situation for the production house, the publisher, and the original creator, because if the movie's a hit, the original work will go up in sales. And as we've seen this year, it's literally 10 times as, like, 10 times the product, like, highest grossing product as, like, the number two spot of the manga, or of the list of most sold manga copies.
Yeah, like, and that's an important thing to note here, like, the anime film is helping boost manga sales. And yeah, GoToGate is still making money off that. And for those who may not be fully aware of it, yes, if you buy the manga in English, GoToGate does get money from that as well. So it's just another reason to, if you want to support GoToGate, buy the manga.
Yeah. Or you could even reading chapters on the Jump app, like, well, not anymore, because they're not... The latest free chapters are, like, the first three and the last three, was it?
Yeah, but from what I understand with the Jump app, it's like anytime you're spending one of your reads for the day on a chapter in the vault, that's where the money would get sent. So, like, say you're reading Demon Slayer chapters, that breakdown of... I don't know how much money goes each time, but from how Jeff Rudberg explained it on Twitter, like, essentially every time you're hitting that read button, like, that's when, like, whatever X amount would be going to an author.
Right. There we go. So, and I assume it's the same in Manga Plus if you're listening and you're not in the, like, Anglo-centric territories. So,
yeah. And talking about money here, these kind of problems also seem to be on the voice actor side as well. Because, yeah, voice actors are also mentioning that their salaries stay the same despite, like, successful hits like Demon Slayer. And this is specifically from Sankonji Urokodaki's seiyu, Hochi Otsuka, who mentioned in an interview how, despite, like, regardless of how, like, a show is successful or how well it does, payments for a voice actor are kind of fixed before the recording. So, like, according to, like, one voice acting school in Japan, payments for, say, like, a 30-minute TV anime episode would be around 15,000 yen, and a maximum of 45,000 yen, depending on, like, kind of whether you're a low-ranked voice actor or a high-ranked voice actor. And anime voice acting is usually the least paid work for voice actors in Japan. And, yeah, that's kind of depressing.
The rest of that sentence, with dubbing overseas live action films the highest at 50,000 yen,
which is still not a lot either.
That's interesting. It's not. I definitely don't want to make it sound like it's a lot, but it's interesting because I do watch a lot of I have a few like Japanese dubbed films and TV shows of American stuff, and you don't tend to see a lot of anime voice actors in that. So that explains this, because I always used to wonder about that, because I have like 3 or 4 Japanese did, and they're like all actors. You don't really see many, like, you see maybe 1 or 2 anime voice actors, and they usually don't have the lead role, like a side character, where they'd be a main character in an anime, they're like the sidekick in a Disney movie.
Yeah, which I guess kind of makes sense, because from how I've seen, like, dubbing over live action is kind of a very different skill, because, like, not only are you having to kind of emulate a voice or kind of do a voice, but you also have to actually match it kind of slightly phonetically to the lip flaps, and there's less room for error compared to anime voice acting, where generally in anime there aren't, like, more detailed lip flaps, because, like, you're not following an actual human being's lips.
Right.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That
does. And then, like, people's affectations can be so different depending on whatever action they're doing. So you have to account for that as well. Because even, like, you see, like, anime, like, there's always action and, like, screaming or whatever. But, like, it's much more different when you're trying to match an emotion of an actual person when they're in the middle of an action, whether it's, like moving around or, like, let's say, like, jumping, or if they're, like, doing like a specific like human action that has a certain nuance that you can't convey with like animation.
Yeah. But of course, like the previous story, there are caveats here. Specifically, Otsuka does mention that like working on like popular series like say Demon Slayer has a ripple effect where like voice actors will be more likely to be booked for other events because like they've essentially rise in the rankings of sorts. So, yeah, there is a sort of light at the end of the tunnel, even though, honestly, a lot of these people should be getting paid more, especially when stuff like Mugen Train does extremely well. I also, this is completely unrelated, but I do find it, like, kind of humorous that Otsuka is the Japanese voice of Jeff Goldblum. Because now I'm just imagining Otsuka's voice coming out of Goldblum.
Yeah, bro. Rokodaki was definitely in Jurassic Park.
Oh my god. I need it. I need it now.
You saw the part where he like completely sliced that T-Rex? That's crazy.
I mean, that just reminds me that, rest in power. Keiichi Fujiwara was Tony Stark's.
Oh, true.
He was his official Japanese
man. I have missed
Fujiwara. Yeah, I do. Oh, Robert Downey Jr. I'm referring to him. I mean, granted, that's one of his biggest.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah,
everyone.
No. I know you're not saying you. No. I'm just saying I'm referring to him as that, but I should refer to him as his actual name.
Sadly, I think more people know him as Tony Stark than as Robert Downey Jr.
I mean, to be fair, yeah. But yeah,
my opinion.
Honestly. Yeah, you have a point. But yeah, that's just... I mean, I know several more Japanese voice actors who are known to dub a certain... which is... I always find that interesting.
So the second to last piece of news that we wanted to talk about here is an article by Nikon Sports where they kind of reported on the future plans of Demon Slayer. Specifically being how... Shueisha and Aniplex are discussing in detail with the television broadcasters and film distributors, Toho and Fuji TV, on how to proceed with the Demon Slayer franchise, which is kind of vague, but also interesting.
It's very interesting. It's by far like the one like piece of news that came out from just like the accumulation of like how the film is successful and that led to all the manga blowing up and everything. But like this is the intersection where all of that comes together.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense that like these discussions are happening between Shueisha, Aniplex, Toho, and Fuji TV, because like Demon Slayer has become so big as a film that the question then becomes like, okay, do we continue this as films and continue to release it just in chunks that way, or do we want to go back to a TV anime format? Do we want to do like a film first release plan and then air it on TV later as maybe cut up? So yeah, it's definitely something to think about. So I'm not surprised that a lot of these discussions are being made. And I'm honestly curious about what the outcome will be here.
Yeah, I mean, in this article specifically suggests that they're going to do two movies rather than one. So that's also a lot of this article is mostly them just kind of like shooting shit in the dark.
Yeah, like, it's like mostly speculation. So like there's nothing.
Yeah.
Concrete here. It's more of just like, hey, yeah, they're considering more Demon Slayer, obviously, because Demon Slayer has done amazingly well beyond anyone's right. expectations. And like they're just ringing around, okay, what the heck are we gonna do here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the different parties all think that, you know, the film distributors will want movies. Well, they would all like benefit in some way. It's not to say that, oh, if they do more movies and Fuji TV's out, they would get something. But obviously, and as V-Lord said, if they were just to re-air the movies, I'm sure that would do really well, too. But I'd also think that Fuji TV would like a piece of that pie and say, hey, air another TV anime.
Yeah. So,
I mean, speculatively, I mean, I did translate this article for the Twitter, and I definitely am giving a caveat to where I say that one of the words that they use for discussion can be translated kind of like, not argument, but it's a discussion, but it's also, it's got several nuances where it could be seen as an argument or kind of like a rebuttal, them going back and forth. But again, I don't want anybody to put too much weight into that. I went with discussion when I translated it because that has a far less negative connotation. So I don't want people to be like, oh, Fuji is trying to get, you know, trying to get it back on TV while Toho is trying to get more movies. And no, I'm pretty sure there's some synergy going.
It's a battle to the death. Aniplex situation, you're just there on the balcony, you know, like middle of the Colosseum. And they're just like, fight for Tanjiro. Situation is
making engaging gladiatorial combat.
We both have to wear Inosuke masks.
God. Are you not entertained? But yeah, it's interesting to see that. And of course, the biggest thing to take away from this is like the acknowledgement that the next arc could not be, it's not going to be feasible to do it. They've at least already.
Yeah, which is kind of a given because like, yeah, that arc is too long to do in one movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely curious to see what direction they end up going in. I mean, I would personally be fine with just movies going forward, though I know some people are less keen on that because knowing Aniplex, they aren't the most accessible with releasing their movies. And it's tricky now because like we're in a pandemic and you can't really go to a theater to see a movie. And in Aniplex's defense, they have been doing better at the turnarounds for their movies. Like before COVID was getting bad, they were going to release Heaven's Feel like a month after its release in Japan. So
yeah, that was very close.
Yeah. So I think honestly, if COVID wasn't a thing, we probably would have seen that for Demon Slayer. But honestly, it is what it is. I think with
the Sony position, like been some questionable things, but like, The way that like Aniplex has been running is like, it makes sense. Like the fact that they're taking for home video, it I guess, like, more confidence in the way that they handle that kind of stuff, just because they would solely release, like, sets or whatever, but, like, now they also have the more, like, less, standard editions or whatever, which is, that's what most people get, but yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm really curious, if they tried to continue the rest of the series entirely in movies. That would be a first. And, like, I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know. I'm not that big of a movie person, but for something like this, I'm really glad to see, the shot Demon Slayer has gotten. And I wouldn't be opposed to watching the rest of it. I do watch the Heaven's Feel movies. I wasn't able to catch part 3 before it was, like, shortly pulled from theaters, because, like, I live in New York, so I have a much more, like,
strict
fear, like a bigger fear when it comes to, like, the pandemic, but I will do my best to catch part, like, comes out, maybe on home video.
Yeah, like, I barely managed to watch Heaven's Feel 3 in theaters before Minnesota shut down again. And yeah, that was a freaking trip. And honestly, like, I kind of think it would make sense to do just films going forward for Demon Slayer, because, yeah, I mean, Mugen Train has done astronomically well, that it would be a mistake not to do more movies of that vein. And I honestly don't think anime original movie would do nearly as well as continuing just adapting the manga as a film. I think that would be the best route to go if they want to do more movies. And honestly, like, if Fuji TV wants a cut of the pie, cut up the movie and air it later on television. Like, maybe a year or something.
That's literally what I thought they were going to do for, quote unquote, season 2. That they would, like, because we know from the beginning, before it even aired on TV, Ufotable has spliced the first 5 episodes into a theatrical showing. So, like, I thought they were going to literally the same for the train arc.
Yeah, I was kind of suspecting that as well, but after we talked to Daza about it, it definitely seems like they didn't make it with that intention. So, yeah, I'm not sure what they're really planning here. And I honestly don't think we're going to see, like, a cut of Mugen Train on television anytime soon. Like,
definitely not. Yeah. But maybe a year later, if anything.
Yeah, so not anything. I feel by the end of 2021, we'll know what the future of Demon Slayer holds in anime form. And I'm definitely, I'm leaning towards and thinking it's probably going to be films moving forward. But who knows? It could really go any direction.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess now we are on to our final thing to mention on this episode, which is a in-depth article by Daryl Harding Daza, once again, where he talks about Demon Slayer's astronomic rise in Japan. Specifically, it's how did Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba become Japan's hottest domestic franchise? And he covers all the basic, like, areas here, like Demon Slayer's history in Jump, the various influences that brought Demon Slayer to the spotlight, and how it topped the film charts from the very beginning, all the way back to the bonds between brother and sister movie that Marion mentioned. So, yeah, Demon Slayer has a very rich history at this point and a really huge underdog story. So if you're kind of curious about learning more about it, we highly recommend reading this piece. We'll include it in the description of this episode. And yeah, just go give it some love.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think that wraps us up here. We have covered all the bases. And yeah, we don't actually have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we thought that this was going to be a 3-minute episode, but obviously.
Yeah, I think we've been recording for an hour and a half. So yeah.
Wow. So that was just a dream within the dream.
Oh my god. Before we go insane, though, we should probably wrap up here. So, Marion, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Microwavy, the E before the V, where sometimes I'll tweet about manga, light novels, and anime that I just happen to come across, or games. You know, I tweet about everything. But I also, on my Twitter, I have a link to my card, which also links to all the other projects I have. I podcast on a bunch of other things, like the Good Friends Anime Club. That's at Good Friends Cast on Twitter. I'm on the Shaman King podcast with you two, at Shaman King Pod. Or, yeah?
Yeah, is it
Shaman King Pod? Or
at podcast? Shaman King okay. Pod. Yeah, you got it.
Good. And then sometimes, more recently, I've been guesting on the My Hero Academia podcast. So that's at Image, if you want to check that out. I do a lot of shit, and I also write reviews on my personal blog, heavensdoorknob.wordpress.com, and I also write reviews for, editorials, yes, that's the word, Toonami Faithful, toonamifaithful.com. I have an idea in the works. I'm not gonna leak it because I'm smart, but also, B-Lord, I think you'll be interested, if anything, because you're not interested in the topic.
Okay. So once we're done recording, tell me.
Hell yeah. And then finally, I also write reviews for Sakaki's blog, which is you can find that on Twitter at WSS Talkback. And it's the website is weekly shonen, great, WSSTalkback.blogspot.com. There we go.
Nice. Well, that doesn't leave me much to say.
No, you can talk, you can, like...
No. Yeah, of course. I was... Yeah, I guess it's my turn to say that. I'm at those places. Pretty much everywhere you can find Marion, I'm in the shadows. In the shadows! You know, Todd in the Shadows. You know Todd in the Shadows? I'm Sakaki in the Shadows. It's me.
I didn't know you watched Todd in the Shadows.
I didn't, but my girlfriend likes... So.
Oh, okay. See, that makes more sense. I was like, wait, Sakaki watches Todd in the Shadows?
I don't, but she likes it, so I make do. Remember, I'm a sip ain't. Simp ain't. Sip it. God, I ruined my... Okay, you can find me at WSS. I run the Shonen Weekly Show Gakukan edition, Twitter and blog, and where we go there's have news, features, and everything you can think of for Shonen Sunday the magazine. It's not quite as big as Jump, and probably never will be, but I'm fine with that. We promote what we can of what you can find there, just so, people know there are things in there besides whatever Takahashi's doing. And the great thing,
to be honest,
it feels good. It feels good because we hit, although I'm pretty sure we're below it right now, but we hit 5,300 followers right on New Year's Eve. It's been kind of yo-yoing since then, but yeah. It's a lot of thanks to Marion's help and Pacheca. I almost forgot. Actually, both we're reaching two different milestones this upcoming year in January. January 17th, the Twitter will be 2 years old, and January, I want to say 27th, the blog will be 3 years old. So those, I'm not sure what I'll do for those. I'd like to do something, but the only thing I could do is translate. I don't have super awesome editing abilities. I can't really do much with like photo editing, but I'll think of something. But
I got at least three reviews in the works.
Yo.
Marion coming with the clutch.
And then Jack, of course, has got something coming up, so I should look. And like Marion, I also write editorials for Toonami Faithful. Wish I could do that more often, but as you can see, I'm a guy. Nothing. As well, you can find me at Kirobon. There's not really a whole lot going on, though, I am going to start trying to read more manga, watch more stuff, because I feel like, hey, 2021 move is to start doing something about my backlog. So join me there. That could be.
You've been reading World Trigger.
Yeah, World Trigger's been fun.
But Marion, we have to get him on the light novel train.
Oh no! I mean, both of you.
If they're like cream pants right now.
I mean, after the show, you all have
that you're. Oh, you're right. You're right. But that's a given, to be honest.
Yeah,
I'm always pushing my agenda on Sakaki.
It's true. So yeah, you can find me at those places. I have my spiel about if you're into Shonen Sunday or anything Shogakukan related, and you want to write about or talk about it, let me know. I'm always looking for writers. I mean, I appreciate the work that Jekka do, but you know, I would love to start hosting guest writers that know things about Sunday that even I don't know.
Become my
co-host. I don't know a lot. Yes. But yeah, you can find me at those places and, well, here.
Yeah, definitely follow both Sakaki and Marion. They both do amazing work. But if you're interested in what I'm doing, you can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ. And I also write editorial pieces for Toonami Faithful, as well as various manga and light novel reviews for all-comic.com. So check out those as well. I also, once in a blue moon, stream a little bit on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VLGTZ. I mainly kind of have been streaming just whatever. Sometimes it's Dark Souls, sometimes it's Fire Emblem, sometimes it's just something else that I suck at. So, hey, you never know. But aside from all that stuff, I also am involved with 3 different podcasts that I host specifically. Obviously, there's the Demon Slayer podcast, but we also have the Oversoul Shaman King podcast, which is on Twitter at Shaman King Pod, as well as the Dumb Weebs podcast, which is a general anime and manga podcast, which is on Twitter at Dumb Weebs Pod. I'm also quite frequently on the Toonami Faithful podcast as a regular co-host, so if you ever see me on there, give it a listen. And I also randomly pop into the Manga Mavericks as well, and I co-host Manga Mavericks at Movies. We recently recorded a new episode for that. I have no idea when it will come out, but I will be on it. So look forward to it.
Soon, TM.
Yes. But as far as the Demon Slayer podcast goes, you can find us on Twitter at DSlayer Podcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/Demon Slayer Podcast, and on the Toonami Faithful website itself at toonamifaithful.com/Demon Slayer Podcast. And you can check out any of those for any various updates about when the podcast comes out and various other things going on with us. And the podcast is streaming on basically every podcast streaming platform out there. Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're there. So just look us up, listen to our episodes, subscribe, and just enjoy. So that does it for this episode. So we'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
I got a train to catch, guys. See ya.
The train puns never end.